website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news. You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible Word of God. It is a truth book. God's Word tells us in John 8, 31 and 32, as Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he says to them, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the word of God says, "Thy word is truth." This is the reason I call the Bible the truth book. It's not some truth, partial truth, occasional truth. It is total truth, absolute truth. Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And I always use a little play on the terms. How long is forever? It is forever, unending. Therefore, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we go by the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I believe that each and everything that we see in life, every event, every issue that is found in this world that we're living in today, I believe that we need to understand that it is required of us, especially as Christians, and I even add to that conservatives and patriots, that we go to the Word of God and seek out what God says that He's doing and view the event through a biblical worldview, the prism of the Word of God. I believe that would be incumbent upon each and every one of us to go to the truth book, find what God's Word says, and understand it is truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. By the way, when I quote George Orwell, that does not mean that I agree with Orwell. He was a secularist. But he made a profound statement in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. He said, and I quote, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that to be factually true today. He hit the nail on the head, as I call it, when he said that. By the way, that was a statement that he made in his book, which was published in 1947, 48, and 49, entitled 1984. Looking at the future of what would take place, he was on target with a number of his statements in relationship to that. He was off number of years. He said it was in 84, and we really see in the early 20s where we started to see the chessboard being put in place that we're looking at today, and realizing that on both sides of the aisle there's a major lack of the embracing of truth. I believe the greatest need we have in D.C. today is truth. I believe we need to understand what truth is and recognize when a deceitful, lying legislator says one thing and we know the facts, but somehow, some way, there's a mindset that we're dumb as citizens, we're ignorant as citizens, we can't see as citizens, and we're to believe the socialist Marxist media, and therefore there's a partial truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that says America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said: "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." And by the way, I'm saddened to say, and it may have changed a small amount, but a research a little over a year ago said, and I quote, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, that age group, what we call the millennials today, they say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. Anything that is not centrality of truth, it is untruth, non-truth, and a bifurcation of what is truth. And I've always said, a half-truth is a whole lie. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And as I've said in the recent months, defending the truth was exactly what Charlie Kirk was doing, but he defended the truth even to death. Now I challenge us that we need to follow in what the Word of God says and understand what's happening in the world today. In fact, the scripture for today that I'd like to share with you is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've used this many times down through the years as we look at the days getting darker and darker, more and more devastating, more and more dangerous. We're seeing in the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. The word perilous means dangerous, dark, devastating, difficult. And that's what we see taking place today. We're going to talk about something that I believe is so vital today. We're going to talk about, is marijuana harmful or not? But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, first of all, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own, start your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, and they can, ladies and gentlemen, find for you the Honda generators. They are not, have a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen. They can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, how do I find Tools for Time? It's located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. And ladies and gentlemen, you can find that flagpole. The base of that flagpole is Tools for a Time. At the top of that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do a bifurcated, reduced monologue today because we've got a special guest that we've had on the air with us before. We're dealing with an issue that is very vital, and I believe it is urgently vital based on some of the things President Trump is recently saying. May I say to you, my question, my issue today is simply this. Is marijuana harmful or not? Ladies and gentlemen, President Donald J. Trump, our president, of whom I believe God has placed in office by his divine intervention to be beneficial to America. But ladies and gentlemen, just in recent days, there's been major, major talk out of the president's office about President Trump reclassifying the marijuana, bringing it from a level one to a level three, declassifying it. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask the question, why would he want to do this? What's changed about the proven, listen to me, what has changed about the proven harm, danger, devastation, and even death that can be brought about by the use of marijuana? What's changed? What's caused him to change his mind and the decision and the direction that he's wanting to go in? Ladies and gentlemen, I find it absolutely worth our question, our analysis, especially in knowing that in the state of Florida, we're on the fast track for November 2026 election. And in November 2026 election, there's a proposed petition that will be on the ballot for you, for me, and for every citizen in the state of Florida to vote on. Do we want marijuana for the recreational use in the state of Florida? We're going to talk about that today, talk about the ups, the downs, the dangers, the difficulties. But I just want to tuck in before we go any further. The marijuana users can have cognitive something that would impair their brain, their function, their what they are doing, impairments that are in some cases permanent. We're looking at medical marijuana. We're looking at, we already have that in the state of Florida. And when John Morgan, who spent about $6 million several years ago in the promulgation and pushing of the medical marijuana, he said to a crowd after it was passed, he said to them, "This is just the start. We've just put the nose of the camel in the tent, and we got more to come." And he's one of the major ones in the state of Florida that's pushing this petition that's being signed to put it on the ballot November 2026. There'd be addiction dependence as a result of that. There'd be use of marijuana will bring about impaired academic and occupational performances. Use of marijuana will bring about physical health effects. I'm not going into the details of each of those now, but we'll be in the course of this broadcast today talking about some of these effects, what it does, and some of the things that is irreparable once that has taken place in the physicality of an individual. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, 42 states, one person on the news said this morning, there's 42 or 44 states, I'll leave that open for your decision, but 42 or 44 states already have legalized marijuana for recreational use and for medical use. But the question is, does it mean that because this number of those in our nation, number of states, does that mean that we should ignore it in the state of Florida? Does that mean that we should allow the president to go ahead and say, well, we're going to change the classification? And listen, I'll say this before we open our telephone lines. I listened to a news reel, and it was on, I believe it was on Fox News, or either on Nation's News, I've forgotten which, and listening this morning about 6:30, President Trump, they did a clip of him speaking, and someone asked the question, what was he going to do about the classification of marijuana? And he said, well, if we reduce the classification and make it a lower classification, that we'll have more production. Talking about more production of marijuana, we'll have more business, we'll have a greater profit in the production of marijuana, and there would be the fact that once that classification is changed, there'll be a greater, investigation and analysis and studies on the subject. And he said it will make more money because the marijuana industry will be able to spend money to do the research and the studies. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tuck this in. 98% of the research and studies that's been done across America for the past 20 to 30 years has been bought, paid for by the medical production industry, the pot people, the pot organization. They've done the studies, and it's just like you might remember, and I'm old enough to recall it. Back many, many years ago, the cigarette industry had done all of their studies, and they wanted everybody to believe that you can smoke a Camel cigarette, any other name. I remember that. They used to have them on television with a camel walking across the desert and talking about Camel cigarettes, that you could smoke cigarettes, and the nicotine was not enough to harm you. It's okay. But we found out about 30, 40 years later that it would kill you, destroys the lungs. There was a major suit, class action suit, that brought mega millions, hundreds of millions of dollars from the cigarette industry. Perhaps some have said, well, drinking marijuana or smoking marijuana, drinking booze will not hurt you. That's an absolute lie. And most of those studies have been carried out, promulgated and pushed and orchestrated by their own industry to make you and me believe that it's okay to have these things done and cause the impairments in our lives. I want us to understand there's a need today to recognize the dangers, the devastation, and in some cases death as a result of marijuana. In fact, many with even with medical marijuana have no real evidence of the real value of puffing on marijuana. And today we're going to talk about that. We have a very special guest with us today, Brother Lawrence Perkins. Brother Perkins has two websites up that he'll talk about that says Keep Florida Fresh, and another website that I believe should be brought to our attention. And we're going to talk with Brother Lawrence. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Brother Lawrence, thank you so much for being with us today, taking time out of what I know is a busy seasonal schedule that you have for Christmas around the corner. But as we talk about what is taking place, I want to jump right to some of the facts. First of all, tell us who you are. Tell us why you're passionate about the studies and the research and the website that you keep up warning the public about marijuana. What is the Why are you interested in that? Why should every Christian be concerned about that? And then the second on that, just go right into it. Why in the world? I'm not devastated, but I'm really in a dilemma. Why in the world would an otherwise excellent president decide that he's going to reduce the restrictions on marijuana? Talk to us about your passion, what you're interested in, concern about the amendment coming up, or the amendment petition November of next year, and then go right into what you see, what you feel, what you believe is the real message that Trump is receiving from somebody and causing him to somehow change the classification.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for allowing me to speak to your audience. The first thing I want to do, while they've got their pencils out and have just written down your number to call in, I would like to give them the number for the White House.
Yes.
And that is 202-456-1414 is the switchboard. I would ask you, please, 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 as you consider this and pray about it, what you might say to them after you've educated yourselves and understand the issue more clearly. I also would recommend going to keepfloridafresh.com and looking at some of the information that's been posted there as a Facebook page so that everybody can have access. And there are pieces of information that that I believe will benefit you, especially a link to a document produced by Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana that lists out the risks of marijuana, because we won't go into all of those today. We've done some of that in the past. Mm-hmm. But there is a need for everyone to understand what the implications of marijuana use are. But today, as we're talking about the potential for changing from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3, there are tremendous implications there. And again, some of the things that I think that probably President Trump will reference should he go that direction. I hope that his staff, including the Surgeon General, who has recently said there's no such thing as medical marijuana because of a number of attributes, mm-hmm. in that it doesn't happen by prescription. There's no regulated mechanism for administering the potencies and the dosages and other things. These are self-administered by individuals, and they, quite frankly, lead to very, very destructive physical and mental issues with individuals. They vary by individual, but some are profoundly destructive, leading to psychosis, leading to other psychiatric disorders, and quite frankly, we've seen in the last several years so many individuals that have some type of mental dysfunction where they have used cannabis and have participated in so many shootings, mass shootings, and other things, and so many violent acts. Moving on from there, moving from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 has profound financial implications.
Let me jump in just a moment. Don't want to disrupt your thinking. You're talking about some of the results, some of the mass shootings, etc. Just recently, most people recall the man that was on the train, I believe it was in New York, stood up and slashed the throat of a young lady in front of him. They say that he cannot stand trial because of his mental capacity.
Sure.
And he admitted that the cause of that was that he was on drugs so long that he had voices talking to him and he could not control himself. And now I reckon they have examined him and they've determined he's not, quote, fit to go to trial right now. And that's some of the end results that we see. And we've seen, you and I have talked about it, that multitudes, if not most, of those that have committed heinous mass murders, they have been on some psychotropic drugs by prescription or simply marijuana over the counter. So go ahead with your thought. I just had to tack that on to what you just said.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood, there are some serious tax implications. For Schedule 1, there are classified as restricted. And there are examples like heroin, LSD, and cannabis that are currently on that Schedule 1, and there's a reason for that. There are other drugs that are such as ketamine and anabolic steroids that are not generally beneficial, except in specific ways that are on Schedule 3, and they're treated differently. The tax implications for Schedule 1, it's very restrictive. The ability to have tax deductions for the facilities, for the staff, for other applications that just run the business, those are generally deductible against your gross revenues, and so you pay taxes on your net revenues. Well, if you just look here in the state of Florida at the 168 or so Trulieve stores, the several hundred other cannabis stores and other organizations that are distributors at the retail level, all of those would wind up being tax deductible, and as a result, it's going to free up a tremendous amount of funding for them. The access to the advertising market, one of the things that I know that you and many of your listeners enjoy are the number of lawyers. They used to not be on the media waves as far as advertising. That became something that is has generally happened. There are other things that in the past, such as tobacco products, that were once advertised profoundly. You have right now so much medications and so many products that are have for various medical uses that are advertised, and those dominate many of the television and radio spots that we hear. This would open the door for, as a Schedule 3, for a flood of that revenue to go in and market deceptively, I might add,
yes,
to the populace. Right now, we've had a history of talking about the hazards and the things that it means both to the unborn child and during early childhood development, as well as throughout adolescence and even up until someone's 25, the damage that occurs when someone's exposed to a THC or cannabis product. Those are profoundly infiltrated our schools, over-the-road drivers, truckers, just normal traffic, the accidents and other things that are individuals are impaired by using a cannabis product. That, in the face of things, still has been limited or constrained in terms of its marketing and the ability to push that into the market. You'll see things online, but not over the airwaves. That will change profoundly if this goes to Schedule 3.
And one of the things that I want to touch on with that, and then continue your train of thought, Brother Lawrence, if we're blowing up ships in the water, boats in the water, as the president's called them, drug boats, coming out of Venezuela, I believe we have hit about 20 or 30 in the water, because fentanyl is dangerous. If that is the position of our president, and this broadcast is not intended to excoriate President Trump. Someone said if he does good, we need to pat him on the back. If he does bad, we need to pat him on the back a little further down. But I believe that we need to understand, if that is the case, and we are about to go to war with Venezuela on the premise that they're a narcotic state, they're a narc state, as he's called it, and we need to destroy that. Why then, on the other side of the coin, and I believe marijuana is just as dangerous in the right dosage, the wrong dosage, however you want to say it, or in the use of it on a perpetual basis, and yet he's willing to talk about changing this classification so that it can be used. I'm looking at an article that says it will open banking and financial services to the marijuana industry. Speak to that.
That's true. One of the things that Schedule 1 products are restricted in terms of access to a lot of banking and a lot of the things. That's why many of the cannabis shops and others are strictly cash, because they can't get a bank to accept the liability and other things that are associated with those. Again, this gives a level of acceptance or coverage and helps them reduce their insurance costs and other pieces. And so on the financial side, they're also limited and cannot be on the most of them, the major exchanges. They have to be over-the-counter or use a Canadian or other stock exchange in order to raise public funding and other things associated with that. This basically would open up the stock exchanges here to allow companies like Trulieve or whatever to become listed on the stock market. But if you look at what Trulieve has done, of course, in the last election, they spent over $142 million alone. That doesn't include the lawyers, doesn't include the other pot industry contributors to in the state of Florida to try to get the constitutional amendment on passed last time. Of course, this time, Trulieve has already spent over $50 million. Mm-hmm. We know that they're planning on spending a whole lot more. That money is in spite of the taxation and other things that are that they're restricted from now. Should they go to a Schedule 3, all of those expenses, including the expenses for operating their 380,000 square foot facility in just west of Tallahassee here in Florida, those become tax deductions for them, mm-hmm. which is, and all of the staff, all of the labor, all of the, and that is millions and millions and millions of dollars will then now drop to the bottom line.
They would inure to the benefit of the pot industry.
Right. And that money will then be able to be spent in deceptive marketing and trying to convince us that it doesn't harm the unborn child, mm-hmm. that trying to deceive us and saying, you know, it, even though the THC passes straight through the placenta to the child and it destroys their mental capacity before yes. they're born, even though it passes directly through breast milk into the child and destroys the development cycle or certainly encumbers and stuff, even though it retards the mental capability of students and adolescents, even though it causes intoxication of drivers and there are more fatalities that are documented on the roads, even though the teachers and the instructors and the medical service providers and all of the others that are limited and can be prevented from consuming, all of that goes away if they are able to make this a constitutional amendment, and all of the monies that we're talking about, the benefits, tax benefits, all of that monies then can be advertised into deceptive thing to try to make this a normal thing. This isn't normal. This is dangerous. This is a profound damage to not just our generation, but the future generations.
Absolutely. So with all that said, it goes back to the question in my mind. Who's been whispering in President Trump's ear? What group has been getting his attention? What group behind the scenes has said, we need this? Because President Trump, very clearly in the blurb that I heard this morning, that was a replay of an interview at some point with him, that he said this would open the market, this would increase the industrial business, it would increase the profits, it would allow more. What does he mean? It would allow more research. And listen, he said the research then would be paid for by the tax dollars, by the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah, I'll speak to that after the break.
It really bothers me today, knowing where we are today, the danger, the devastation. And two states, Massachusetts and Colorado, are already talking about withdrawing their approval of marijuana recreationally and for medical use, medical benefits. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news right after the news break. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange.